Saving money on your outdoor project at Menards. We make landscaping simple with our free, easy-to-use design program and step-by-step project guides. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block at the best prices. Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your outdoor project started today. Save big money at Menards.
Hey, hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome a truly inspiring guest, Haiti, a professional organiser and declutterer based in Horsham, West Sussex. Katie helps busy families create calm, functional homes. What makes her work so special is how she gives back. As part of her service, she donates items to local charities, supporting everything from baby banks to women's shelters and community causes like Horsham Matters and the Chestnut Treehouse. Her approach isn't just about tidying, it's about decluttering with purpose and making a positive impact. Katie, it's so lovely to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Janine. It's a pleasure.
So let's get straight in. Let's get into the whole thing. So, Katie, could you share a little more about what inspired you to become a professional organiser and declutterer?
Absolutely. So I realised as a busy mum, I've got a four-year-old, that when the house became untidy and everything got a little bit frazzled, that it was time for a reset. And I realized how soothing it was for me to have the home in a calmer state and the knock-on effect on both me and my child. And when I realized how important that was, I just really wanted to share it. We all work so hard for our homes, to pay for our homes, and then we don't end up enjoying them. It's almost like another to-do on the list. And so I've spoken to so many busy women who are like, oh yeah, we can't have friends around the house, or yeah, it's just easier to be out sometimes. And it's like, what do you mean? Like, this place should be your sanctuary. This should be where you come to relax. And so I just want to help people achieve that.
Interesting. So what was the actual turning point? Where were you doing your own? And then you went, all right, I'm just going to follow this passion. What actually happened at that moment? You just looked at your house, or you just met somebody that said to you, I wish my house was like that?
Yeah, it was talking to a mum who said that they couldn't invite their friends' kids over. They couldn't do that because the house wasn't suitable. And I was like, that's not okay. That's really not okay. And this was, you know, a really busy person who had a really good job and a really beautiful house and just not enough hours in the day. And I was like, I can help. I can fix that.
Yeah. So did she just let you in, or was she really, I know all the answers to this, but I want our viewers to listeners to listen to what you have to say. What was she like when you came in for the first time?
So she struggled with keeping on top of things and creating systems. And it was amazing it's really interesting, actually, when I go for a consultation for a family, quite often it's the mum I'm working with usually. And quite often they want to start with the children's bedrooms or the toy room. Those are the two like overwhelming spaces. And as parents, we tend to prioritize our children.
Right.
And so if you're bringing in a service like that, it's for the kids. It's to make the kids' life better. And instead of looking after ourselves. And so in that instance, I was like, look, the kids' rooms we can get to. You are exhausted. You are frazzled. Yeah. And the house is like a compounding factor in that. And so I was like, can we see the whole house and tell me what bits of it that really get you down? And it turned out that it was their bedroom. It was their bedroom that needed to be sorted so that they could rest properly. Prioritize yourself. Put your own mask on first.
Yeah.
So that you can help others with theirs. And then what I really love about my work is that there's a knock-on effect. So I call it the snowball effect. After I've been in for a session and we've worked on a particular room, we work on one room at a time to keep focus and complete the task at the end of the session. And normally within a day or two, I'll get a text. Oh, we've kept going. We've done the kitchen. We've done the utility room. We've managed to sort out the kids' wardrobes. And so it's when you do a session with me, it's not just the session. It's kind of a mindset. Yeah.
It's funny because as a feng shui consultant, it's always the wardrobe that's, I go in and I say to them, when I'm coming to feng shui somewhere, I say, I will be opening all your cupboards. And they're like, oh, you never said that you can do, as I walk in, you never said you're going to do that. I said, well, I need to see where your clutter is. And it is the wardrobe. I've always found, obviously take the children's things out of it. And that kitchen drawer, of course. But
drawer of useful things.
Yes. What's your tip with the wardrobe? I know what I do, but tell me what you do with the wardrobe.
So with the wardrobe, depending on the quantity of clothes, you know, some people have got rafts of wardrobes, some people have just got a single door. But depending on the quantity of clothes that we're dealing with, I will either take out a category or the whole lot if it's just a small wardrobe. And then we'll go through the items and discuss them, literally each one. Usually it's me doing the lifting and shifting and the client is sitting or folding or
drinking champagne,
setting the items forward. But we'll talk about, you know, what is this for? Like, is this workwear? Is this leisure wear? And I like to create categories in the wardrobe so that when you're looking for a specific thing, you're just looking in one section rather than looking through the entire batch.
Right.
And when you ask someone, what is it for? It really makes them question why they have it. And if when you make it a conversation, what I find is if there's a delay in the answer, that's the answer.
Yes. It is the reading of the moment, isn't it?
Or if I get a, what do you think? You know, if we're doing, you know, further on into the process, it's like I can determine what category it's going to go into. And it's like, you know, are we keeping? Are we not keeping? This is quite similar to this other one. Which one of them do you tend to go for? Because if we have very similar items, we have a preference and the other one doesn't get worn. Sometimes I get, what do you think? I'm like, you know the answer.
I think the other thing that if I like something in particular, and I'm scared that it's not going to be there, I'll buy it in a couple of colours.
Oh, I have this top in 4 colours.
I don't feel so bad now. Well, then you can see I'm wearing a T-shirt that says I drive a stick with a witch on it. I think that's really interesting because if you get to know your fashion, if we're talking about wardrobes, and you know that you can just get up in the morning and go, well, I know that goes with that and that goes with that, makes life so easy.
There's a reason why the world CEOs wear white T-shirts and black trousers. One less decision to make. That said, though, I had some advice from a stylist, and she advised that if you do buy multiple colours, be careful that you're actually wearing all of them, because, again, we'll have a preference. And so think about it before you buy every single possible option. Which ones are you really going to reach for? So yeah, I do try to mix up my 4 tops.
No, if you go to my wardrobe, it's blue, pink or black.
You know your colours.
Those are my colours and that's what I like to do. It's interesting you said categories, because I didn't really think about that. When I talk to people, when I go in feng shui people, and I don't declutter them, that's your territory. But I notice many times that women have 2 sizes in their wardrobes.
Or three.
No, I've only come across 2. So how do you deal with that when you know, what? Because their logic behind it is like, I change so many sizes. How do you declutter that down?
So I've come across 3 sizes when someone has recently lost a lot of weight. So they're on a health kick and they have recently come down a size. So they've got the clothes that they're now, those clothes are now too big for them. And they've got the clothes that are fitting them right now. And then they've got the aspirational clothes that they're hoping to get to. Now, It really depends on the person, but obviously clothes that don't fit you, if you're coming down in size and you're working towards a goal, those clothes that are too big for you, they just need to go. Like, woohoo, you're never going back there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, even as a mental trick to yourself, if you keep them there, then that's always an option, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
But if they're gone, they're just gone. And like, celebrate that, because that's what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Vice versa, if you're going the other way and you're trying to gain weight to get to a healthier weight. But the aspirational clothes, I always make a judgment call on. For me personally, I don't like things that don't fit me in my wardrobe. That doesn't help my mood and my self-confidence. So I would say remove the aspirational clothes, put them into the loft or the spare bedroom or wherever it is that makes sense in your house, and still keep working towards that goal and bring them down when you're ready. Otherwise, every day you're looking at it going, I still don't fit that. I still don't fit that. Now, that's my mindset. Some clients find having the aspirational clothes sitting there like an incentive. And so they're like, I've got to keep going to the gym. I've got to keep on this diet that I'm working towards, or whatever it is that they're doing. So it really depends on the client, but you can judge that in the moment. You can sort of see it on their face, which one is what they need.
It's funny because I bought a skirt that I've always wanted. It was like out of Sex and the City. I just love it. And I keep it in my wardrobe. And then I did a photograph shoot the other day for my book. And she was like, do you want to wear it? And I was like, oh my God, so there's me wearing it with a denim jacket, this little black thing, long black thing and everything. So I think, as you say, that's quite important. Now, one of the other things that I am really interested in is when we take the whole house, because as a feng shui consultant, I often go in and grandma's given them something and they cannot let it go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you do to clients that have feel guilty about parting with things that they've been given or...
So sentimental items are always tricky. I think people think that as a declutterer, my house will be minimalist and I'll have nothing like that. That's absolutely not true. And so I always tell the story of my teapot belonged to my grandmother. It was one of her wedding presents, but I use it every single day.
Right.
And that's the difference.
Yes.
So if you're keeping a sentimental item because you love that person, that's one thing. But if it's taking up space in your house and impeding your life, that's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have loads of sentimental items from family, those that are still with us and those that have passed. But I incorporate them into my life. The picture is on the wall. The apron that belonged to my great aunt is used every time I do baking. And so if you can find a sentimental item that is also useful, winning. If you're keeping it purely because they gave it to you and you don't like it and it doesn't bring you anything, it doesn't serve any purpose and it doesn't make you happy to look at it, then you have to question why it's in your home. Because the thing is not the person.
Totally agree. So we
why not have a photograph of the person? Or if the object is important but it's bulky, photograph it, write down its story so that you can pass down the story to future generations without burdening them with the object. That's a good one if people have a lot of sentimental items. And also if they have a lot of things from the same person, choose your favorite. It's okay.
Just going to take a little break so that we go over to our sponsors, and Katie and I will be back shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Katie, sorry to have cut you off then, but you were fast in front of a particular question I was going to ask, and I was like, no, I have to slow up. So I wanted to say, giving with purpose. So we get given a lot of stuff. This is what you were saying. Mm-hmm. And then we've got to give it away, yeah? Mm-hmm. So I literally, when I was reading about you, I love the fact that you take a boot full of stuff away and donate it to the redistribute it to the charities that you believe in. Can you just tell me, like, if someone, like you say, the whole process from the end when you're just about to leave and you've got your boot full of stuff, they must be really happy that they're giving to charities.
Absolutely. I mean, the end of a session, I do 4-hour sessions, so they are quite intense energy. And it's interesting when you start off, the client is resistant to making decisions, and we call it exercising the decluttering muscle. So towards the end of the session, they became much more able to release things from their home and clearer on what they do and don't want. And yes, part of my service is because I donate to local charities, because it means something to me. I can't stand by and tell people to put things in landfill. That doesn't sit right with me. But it's twofold, because it also helps people to release. So if they have something valuable and they've spent their hard-earned cash on it, or someone's gifted it to them, and they can see that it has use, it has purpose, there's nothing wrong with it, it's not broken, but it just doesn't serve purpose in their home, they feel guilty about releasing it. But if I can say, look, if you don't need this, I can take it to a charity that supports women fleeing domestic violence. I can take it to the baby bank, who support families on a referral basis, so you know it's going to the people that really need it. And I can take it to Chestnut Tree House, and, you know, these kids' craft kits that you've been gifted over the years and have sat in the cupboard because neither of you are interested enough to actually dedicate the time to do them, that's okay. The person that gifted you them doesn't care whether you've done them or not. They've done their bit. Yeah. And those can go directly to the hospice, and entertain the children that are living there. And, you know, seeing like their last days there, like, why wouldn't you want to do that? And so it makes it so much easier for the clients to release those items. Now, I am very careful never to put pressure on, like, we need these things. but when I can see someone wavering and I know what they want to do, but the guilt of the value of the object is holding them back, then I will encourage that way and say, look, you know, nothing will be wasted. I take away a bootload of donatable items and I ensure that they go to the people that need them most.
So the other, so when you're talking to the people with the mindset and they've got grandma's brass kettle or whatever, obviously I have one, which I found in the garage the other day, and my friend said, oh, let me buff it up for you. And now it's sitting there and I'm like, my house is modern, it's grey, it's funky. So it's just sitting there and I'm thinking, what do I do? Because this person that did it all up for me and made it look amazing, how do I go back to them and go, do you want it? Because they thought they were giving it as a gift to me. So when they come around, they're going, oh, it looks good. So the people that turn around and say they've given you the gift and it's not there again. And I know you said that passing it on, that's really good. But those sort of magical copper kettles, what do you do?
Do you know, as the gift receiver, you feel that the other person is going to come in and assess and look around your cupboards and think, where's that candle I gave them? Where's that?
Yeah.
They're not. You don't do that in anyone's house.
No.
We don't do that. We think that other people do it. But if you assess yourself, have you ever gone into someone's house and gone, I bought them a vase and I can't see it?
No,
we just don't do that.
No.
No, in the particular instance where someone's put labor effort into your copper kettle, I would say they've done that because they think that that item is beautiful and valuable. And that's not to say that you don't, but it doesn't fit the aesthetic of your home.
Yeah.
If there's not a place in your home where it makes sense, I would say, do you know what? It's really beautiful. Thank you so much for that work that you've done. It just doesn't fit in our home, and I wondered if you were interested in having
Okay, watch this space then.
it.
So the other thing, can you just tell me a little bit about the organizations you're partner with? I know partner is a big word, and you had just started to show the impact that it would have for the children, the chestnut thing. So people really understand that giving this away that you've just given in your cupboard, what a difference it makes.
Absolutely. So, charities I've been working with recently, 10 Little Toes Baby Bank in Crawley. They do amazing work to support families in need. They support families right up to the age, children up to the age of 12, and it's all on a referral basis through healthcare providers. Moonstones is the domestic violence support. They support women fleeing that day. It's urgent care. They've literally walked out of a situation and they have nothing. And so I am able to support them with homeware items like bowls and cups and kettles and all that type of thing. And honestly, it's giving someone a base. It's showing someone that life is possible outside of the situation they've just walked away from, and so much courage required to even do that.
Yes.
So it just literally, I've got goosebumps. It fills me with such joy that the work that I would be doing anyway is able to do this. I set up the business wanting to help busy families. And what I realized was if you just declutter and leave them to get rid of the items, those bags will sit there forever. Everyone's got a bag that they meant to take to the charity shop in the boot or in the hallway or in the garage. And so I thought, why not make that part of the service? And now that I'm able to partner with local charities, talk to them about what they actually need. The difficulty with charities is that if you try and take a donation to your local shop, they have such limited space that they can't take everything. And people get disheartened if they take something in and they say, I'm sorry, we're full. We're not open to donations today. And so what's lovely is I have a little bit of storage at my house where I can keep things seasonally. So sometimes when I'm decluttering a loft or something, we'll come across, say, Christmas decorations in the summer or barbecue equipment in spring. And it's just, you cannot give Halloween decorations to a charity shop in January. They will be very cross.
I never actually thought about giving decorations, Christmas decorations to charities.
You absolutely can, but you have to time it correctly. So middle of October, early November. That's when they want them. That's when people are looking for them because that's when we're decorating. So if you're putting your decorations up and you've left stuff in the box, just take it to charity straight away. Don't wait until January when you bring everything down again. That's
Right.
when they definitely don't want it.
Okay.
Because that means they've got to store it for 10 months and they
Right.
have space.
I understand. Oh, that's really interesting. So obviously I'm going to come to the big question. Emphasis now on sustain, I can't even say it, sustainability. How do you help clients feel better about letting things go? Well, we know that, but how do you explain to them about landfill? Is that something that you talk to them about?
Yes, so when we're decluttering, we'll have several bags on the go or boxes, depending on what we're dealing with. And so we'll have donatable items. Now, that is a tricky one because sometimes people want to alleviate their guilt by donating to charity, and it's not really of the condition that a charity wants.
Right.
A lovely thing is, because we don't want to be burdening charity shops with rubbish because then they have to pay to get rid of it.
Right. I never knew
And
that.
that's, the exact opposite of what you're trying to do by supporting a charity. So what's lovely is that 10 Little Toes use the phrase, everything should be of a giftable condition. And it's so helpful to just think, would I gift this to someone? Or am I thinking it'll do for charity? That's not okay. That's not how we give people dignity. That's not how the shops can sell items. Would I gift it to somebody? Would I buy it if it was in a charity shop? that's what we've got to think about. So we manage what's going into the donation bags that way. And then we have your standard household recycling, your cardboards, your plastics, that sort of thing. And then we do always end up with a general waste bag, but usually it's pretty small. It's things that are broken. It's sometimes we find food.
Wow.
Depends what you're doing. Depends if it's a kid's room. So we do usually have a small general waste bag. And then electrical appliances can be taken to our recycling centres. Batteries can be recycled at the shops, in most supermarkets. So it's just making people aware of what options are available. You know, obviously I'm like eagle-eyed anywhere I go, like, ooh, you can recycle trainers at the leisure centre. Who knew? You can take your textile recycling to the recycling centre, or in just as you enter Dunelm, there's a big bin there. And so it's just keeping your eye on what's possible and filtering out all those things. And so some of those recycling items I will take just to make it easier. For the clients, like, don't worry about your batteries, I'll take them.
You must be a bit of an angel doing that. I mean I'd love someone to just come in and, like, you know, actually I am a big declutterer, so I will talk about it in the next thing, but I think that it's such a big process. And when I talk to people about decluttering, I say, right, you know, because they in feng shui they have to declutter. Often when I go to people's houses, where their clutter is, where their problems are. So there's nine life areas in feng shui. South is fame, the relationships are southwest, the west is creativity, the northwest is helpful people, the careers in the north, northeast is wealth, east is ancestries and good fortunes in the middle, and the center of the house is people's health. Yeah. So when I go in, my instant thing is, where is the clutter? And I know that's the problem. Okay. Yes. It doesn't matter what's in there, but that is actually the problem. And my, you know, I say to them, you know, oh, this is how I declutter. I've learned some things off you today. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And because sometimes they'll kind of go, oh, you know, I need more money. But actually, when you look at it, it could be their relationship that needs sorting out, or the male of the house has got various problems to do with work or whatever. So as soon as you start to sort out the clutter, you start to see a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just going to take a little break so that we go over to our sponsors, and Katie and I will be back shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
The station that makes you feel good.
So, right, we're back for just a short while. Could you give me your top tip to declutter?
Start.
That's a really good one.
You know, I think there's lots of tasks in life that we think are harder than they actually are. We build them up to be this big job in our heads. Tax returns is one.
Yes.
Packing for a holiday feels like a massive job. It actually doesn't take that long. But it's one of those things that we're like, oh, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. One of the things for me is that if this thing's sitting around in the space where you relax, I call those visual to-dos. So if I sit down on my sofa and I see a thing I was meant to do, like, oh, I was meant to return that library book. Oh, that's annoying. And all those little things have an impact on our ability to relax and our ability to focus on what we want to focus on. So if we're working in a space where there's lots of things that we were meant to get to, or we, you know, we've forgotten to take that top back that we bought that was the wrong size, or you know, we meant to post that parcel to our mother for her birthday or whatever it might be, that's taking our energy. That's taking our focus away from what we actually want to do. And so for me, it is as simple as a tidy space is a tidy mind. Like, we can make our lives easier by doing this work. And it's, you're going to save time in the long run by creating systems that work for you. You're going to make your day-to-day easier by investing the time now. So your future self will always thank you for doing this work, even though you might not enjoy the process of doing it, or you'll fear what the process of doing it will be like. It's really common for me to turn up to a client session. First of all, I'll go and meet them and have a consultation. We'll get to know each other. I'll hopefully portray to them that I'm not a scary person that's going to make them throw away all their things, which is always a fear.
What our listeners can't see is she's lovely. She looks so relaxed, so friendly. You'll be fine with her.
And so I spend half an hour to an hour chatting, seeing the space, figuring out what we need to focus on first. Occasionally we'll need to get a few bits in, but it's very rare, like storage items, or think about how things are going to be stored. But then when I turn up for the session, we start early in the morning because most people are best able to focus. And I'll say, how are you? Good morning. And they'll say, I haven't slept. What do you mean? And it's really common for clients to be anxious, but then we get into it and it's all fine. And they do realize that it's, you know, I would never, ever make someone get rid of anything. What I do is make sure that the work happens. So you've dedicated the time. You've taken time off work, or you've asked someone else to look after your kids. You've made this time, so let's use it. And the fact that I take everything away means that the end of the session is a clean slate. So there's no hangover from what we've done. Because I think a lot of people, when they try to do this work on their own, first of all, they tackle too big a job at once. So it's like, I'm going to do this whole room right now by myself. And they pull everything out and then they get tired. And then it's school pickup and then into dinner and bath and bed. And then they're still in a mess and a big pile of all the things. And they think, why did I ever start? Why?
So this is what makes you special for me, because one of the things that when, like, they say have declutter parties, which is absolutely it. Paint parties to paint a house, yes, but declutter parties, or your mates going like this, no. Or
no.
But the fact that at the end of this session with you, there is nothing left. There's nothing to make you feel guilty. There's a whole good feeling that, you know, everything's going to the charities that you want. I think you've got some. I think you've cracked it here. I think this is a very unusual way I've ever been around a declutterer. That, you know, you talk about putting systems in. What do you class as a system? Just to help give us an idea.
So it depends on the room that we're working in, but with children's clothes, I always recommend having a too big and too small box. Children grow so fast, and we get gifted items that aren't the right category. So if you have a too big, too small box at the top of your wardrobes, then it's really easy to, oh, that t-shirt's too small, in the box. And then when that box becomes full, you can deal with it. You can either donate, or you can save for your next child, or gift it to a friend, or whatever. In the kitchen, if I'm ever working in someone's kitchen, I'll always talk through a day in the life of their kitchen. Show me which cupboards you're accessing to make your breakfast. Show me where we need to go to make a cup of tea. Because quite often, especially these days, now that the boiling taps have come in, the mugs and the tea bags live where the kettle was. But now we've got a boiling tap. Mm. So we don't need to be in that area for the mugs and the tea bags, but still they just live there because that's where they've always been. And we find that we're crossing the kitchen two or three times just to make a cup of tea. Life doesn't need to be this hard. We can make it easier.
Yeah.
So it's just thinking through those steps and from different family members' angles. So depending on how many of us are there might be people that have particular needs out of the kitchen. Mm. And let's But no one else uses those items. So let's group those together so that other people aren't interfering with them. And yeah, just making everybody's life easier. That's what I'm all about. Life's hard enough.
I know. This is so interesting. But we're coming to the end and I want to keep talking to you. So tell me, where can people find you?
So I'm on Instagram at Make Room to Breathe. And website the same. I'm also on Facebook. I'm less good on Facebook, but you'll find me there if you want me. And just get in touch, drop me an email, give me a call. I offer free consultation where I pop around and we can chat. Absolutely no obligation. I genuinely want to help. So if you think that my service isn't going to help you, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, love it. I absolutely love it. So Katie, thanks for coming on. It's been amazing. I feel like I could talk to you for ages. And what people can't see is that I can actually see you, and you absolutely are passionate about what you do. And I think that's a really good, you know, we need enough birth angels around to help us do what we need to do. And all the work you do goes to charity as well. So that's amazing. So thank you for coming on. And
yeah, absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And I will speak to everyone a bit later. Thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way. I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.